Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Growth Unscripted podcast, where we talk about things about positivity, motivation, and we keep it raw, we keep it real, we keep it true. So I'm actually here today with my friend Caleb. Caleb is somebody who's actually in the digital marketing. He's actually been in it for a very, very long time. And if I'm not mistaken, you have a police background?
Yes. I was a police officer for a couple years back in New York State.
How was that?
It was an amazing experience. I got to learn so much about people and just interaction. Personal communication skills will take you super far in life. Personal skills, leadership skills, that kind of stuff, you can't put a price on it. So I had 2 years of experience with that. But because of a back injury, I had to like rotate and take a different shift because I was like, I can't do this anymore. You know, sitting in the patrol car with the weight of the vest, the belt, all of it on my lower back. I couldn't do it anymore. And it was getting frustrating too. In New York State, it almost seems like things are a little in favor of the criminal. A lot of people just getting appearance tickets, you know, just kind of slap on the wrist, please show up to court. And unfortunately, it was just kind of frustrating to see a lot of hard work and not really making much of a difference.
Okay. So from police, right, to being a police officer to now navigating now to become a digital marketer, how did those two even like cross and make you even want to go over to that side?
Yep. So it's closer to like the financial services space than digital marketing. Mm-hmm. But I'll let me back up and kind of like go into things real quick here. I don't know if any of you guys sat in church, maybe had like a missionary come through.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of missionaries that came through my church as a kid, and I always thought it was super cool. You've probably seen 100, you know, presentations yourself. They get up there, they talk about their mission trip, what they're doing. I'm like, that's amazing how they're making that kind of an impact. But I want to make an even bigger impact. Well, to make a huge impact on this world, you can't do it alone, right? Even this podcast, we're doing it together. We're here at an event as well. And, you know, everybody's trying to just collaborate to get to that next level. So to make a big difference, I realized, hey, if I want to go overseas, make a difference in one of these countries, yeah, I could do something on my own. But if I was able to have the financial backing to be able to support a bunch of people and build something great, I can make way bigger of a difference. So I got into, you know, the Army. I wanted to serve my country, was a combat medic, which just means you're attached to the infantry. Most, at least that's what I was. There's some people that are in hospitals. You just provide a lot of medical support. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool too. That was a neat experience. That's kind of where the back stuff started. And then once I got out and got into law enforcement, it just got worse over time. And it wasn't something that was enjoyable. If you ever had any back pain yourself.
Long drives. I can understand that pain.
Long drives.
Yeah, so long drives.
It's no fun. So I had to sit down and figure out, what do I want to do? And at the same time, I saw my grandparents' 401k. You guys all remember COVID-19, right? It took a big impact on a lot of people's financial wherewithal because either they, you know, lost their job because, you know, companies were downsizing during that time and the COVID and all that, or somebody was retired and they have what's called like a 401k. It's kind of just a retirement account through work. Well, because it's tied to the market and depends on how well or poorly the market does, depends on how much is related to how much money is in your account. Well, my grandpa, he had a 401k and he lost a lot of money in that 401k when COVID-19 hit. So he had to come out of retirement and work a part-time job to make sure he wasn't pulling from his account when the value was already down. So he said, hey, Caleb, I need you to go find the right information. I want to make sure this doesn't happen to you or anybody else that you know. So I went and like sought the right information. I saw a lot of people like Grant Cardone, like the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, like a lot of very successful individuals, Andrew Carnegie. I was like, what are these people doing differently than everybody else? Because everybody puts their pants on the same way, but yeah, it's just the right information that we have, a lot of good information that we had at this event today that we learned about. But it's the actual people that implement it that see a difference. So I got the right information, started to implement it, and started seeing that even though I was doing it for myself and like helping, you know, some friends and family with it, there was a demand for people wanting to know this information. Because unfortunately, we get taught like what maybe a bank account is in high school, but nothing really more than that. So I had a lot more people coming to me like, hey, I heard like you do financial services. Can you help me with this? And before you know it, one thing led to another. And now I actually have my own company. We've got 14 employees on the team and slowly growing. But it's super exciting to now just help people and do something I'm passionate about and make a difference.
I love that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is very crazy because I can't even, like, for it even happen in that way, I mean, it almost seems like, you know, like, a lot of people believe, you know, certain things happen for a reason.
Yes.
And, you know, and then there's also, too, as well, where, like, you know, like, there's a season for everybody.
Exactly.
So even, let's just say, I'm not sure if that opportunity ever came across for you before or not, but, you know, sometimes you may feel like it is that season for you to try something different, and sometimes I feel like, nah, I need to stay here a little bit longer. to actually go before I can proceed on to the next level.
100%. So,
let me ask you this. What's the biggest lesson you learned during your time as a police officer that still influences you today?
Yeah, I would say never judge a book by its cover. Sometimes you would have no idea that this sweet old lady would be stealing something from Walmart.
You got to watch for the old ladies. They'll use that. They'll use that too. They will use that against you.
So I just learned never to be surprised. Never. Like, I have the highest of hopes for people, but I'm never surprised at what people can do. It kind of, like, just made me really aware of that, no matter how great somebody looks on the outside. Like, a lot of people have things going on behind the doors, you just close doors you never know about. When you're a police officer, you start to see, you know, things that are people dealing with on every single day, whether they're, you know, attorneys or maybe somebody's living in a trailer park. Like, everybody has issues they're facing. And just because somebody's able to put on a good show out in public, it doesn't mean that everything behind the scenes is going well. So that was probably the biggest thing that I've learned is never judge a book by its cover. Everybody's going through something. And, you know, you could have somebody that's, and I even see an entrepreneurship now where somebody that's like maybe doesn't have the potential, but they want to work hard. They have a good attitude. They have credibility. They have ethics. They could perform way better than maybe somebody that, you know, was maybe born with that silver spoon or that has a lot of potential because they're willing to put the work in. So it's kind of given me like a really good idea of like, who do I want to bring into my team? Who do I want to say no to? And it's based on not so much their potential, but like what's their actual commitment level.
So how do you figure that out, right? When it comes to like, you know, people coming on or people that you want to try, that want to come to you, say, hey, like I want to join or blah, 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 right? Like how, like, is there like a certain structure or guideline that you, or formula that you kind of have to figure that out?
Yeah, for sure. If you're trying to get employed anywhere, there's three things that I would say to make sure you have a strong resume on. The first one would be coachability, because it doesn't matter how awesome somebody's system is at a new job, how great a program is, or some programs here being offered today. But if you don't follow that information and implement it, you're not going to see results. So you're wasting your time and you're wasting that company's time too for training you if you're not actually going to do what they say. Then the second thing that I'll talk about is your commitment, right? What's your commitment level? Because I was talking about everybody's got potential, but like how committed are you to actually fulfill and take those steps? So look at somebody's track record, like times that maybe they could like go over with me, like when were you committed? Like, can you show me some commitment in your life when you stuck with something, you made it happen? Now, if I look at somebody's resume, it's like, you know, job after job after job after job, that's showing like a very low level of commitment, you know, staying power is something that's big, right? Sticking with something and becoming successful. And the last I would say is credibility. So if you don't have the core values of the company you're looking at, and also too, like an interview isn't just for the employer, it's also for you as like the employee. Or if you're looking for a new, you know, mentor or anything like that, the interview is two-sided. So you want to make sure that they have credibility, they have good core values. Because whether it's a relationship, personal relationship, or in business relationship, if you don't align with their core values, it's going to eventually cause a lot of friction, and then you guys are going to part ways, and it's probably not going to end, you know, in a great way. So I just want to make sure this person, like, I'm a Christian myself, so if this person doesn't have good ethics, good credibility, you could say, good core values, then I just know, like, no matter how much potential they have or say they're committed, it's probably not going to work out.
All right. So then with all that being said, right, so what is something that, like, with everything that be going on day in and day out in your business, what is something that really drives you day by day to keep going when it comes to all this? Like, what's something that's really, like, that go-getter moment for you?
Yeah. Yeah. So we all have rough days. It's never It's never like an ideal scene. Like our ideal scenes in entrepreneurism are like a very far and few between.
Right.
But the daily grind to grind, like things aren't going right. You always have to overcome things. So it's like, I see a lot of people that start out, they try something in entrepreneurism and they quit because it's like, it's very difficult. Like a lot of people don't talk about how difficult it is to be an entrepreneur, to be fully independent, off on your own, running, crushing it. Cause it's not somebody taking care of the problems for you and you getting paid. It's you getting paid and you have to take care of the problems that come along. So for me, I would say, what was your question again? I just want to make sure I'm answering it properly.
Like, what drives you to do these things?
I would say if you can keep your, find out what you want to do, like why you really want to do what it is that you feel led to do, and go deep with it. Make sure it's a worthy cause to pursue, and then have the end result there, but also have what you're running from too. Like, what are you chasing after? And also, what are you running from constantly on the forefront of your mind? And if you can do that, I mean, even on my phone here, I've got like my vision board on my phone. Every time I turn my phone on, I've got my vision board. Well, I want to have, you know, this. I want to have a family. I want to have all these different things. And keeping it as a constant reminder when things get hard, I mean, you just turn my phone on, maybe I'll just like scroll social media for a second, I don't think about it. But as soon as I turn my phone on, I see that, I'm like, all right, no, I gotta get back to work, I gotta keep grinding, because it's not only about you yourself staying committed to the dream, selling yourself on the dream, but also selling your entire team on the dream too. As you build a business, you bring on employees, you wanna make sure that you're selling them the opportunity every single day. And, you know, going, finding out what their dreams are. What are they chasing after? What are they running from too, right? It's the pain point as well as the result that we're looking for when we want to have these dreams in front of us. So I would say that, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of like the approach I take. Yeah.
Well, definitely. All right. So since it's a Growth Unscripted podcast, a lot of people think that when they watch podcasters or even they even just see anybody online, right, they just see the end result of things. They never really tend to, you know, want to understand like, hey, this person has been through some stuff first before they can get to where they're at.
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's the part that a lot of people don't think about, because honestly, it's the nastiest part.
Yeah.
When it comes to growing, right? So, because, you know, there's no blueprint that's laid out for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you might be going one direction. Next thing you know, a wall comes. Right. Now you got to pivot. Yep. You got to back up. You got to make a right, turn around. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nothing's really ever easy at all. Nothing's not easy at all.
It's not.
It's not. So, with that being said, what is, like, what would you say is, like, the what's, like, probably like been the biggest obstacle? And within that as well, what are some things that you, like, how did you, like, how did that emotion, all those emotions even, like, play a part in that? Like, were you sad? Were you mad? Did you feel like you had to give up? Like, what was going through your brain, like, during those times?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. The biggest obstacle that I have found is yourself. It's waking up every single day, looking in the mirror and being like, either your dreams are going to happen because of you, or they're not going to happen because of you. So every day I realize that, and it's like, how bad do you really want what you want to achieve to actually do the work to make it happen? So I would say when I first started, like, the mindset, believing in myself, knowing that I can do it, the staying power, building all these different, it's not an overnight thing. It's a constant, daily, intentional thing you have to do of just making a plan, doing the plan, reviewing it, and then making a new plan. Because a lot of people, they just caught in these cycles. They keep repeating the same patterns. They never see a different result. Well, we got to change something. Like, at some point, we got to recognize. I mean, look at Thomas Edison. He hundreds of times trying to create the light bulb. Every single time, he had to change something different. And eventually, because he kept changing it enough, he found exactly how to, you know, make the light bulb work, the incandescent light bulb. So for me, it's just knowing that as long as you don't quit, you can't fail. So there's only failing forward if you don't quit, the way I look at it. As long as you're learning from it and being like, okay, I know what I need to do differently next time, and I'm going to implement that, and then we can go from there. But just constantly review what you're doing and making sure that if it's not getting your results, make sure you're doing it for a long enough period of time too. A lot of times I see people, they do something for one day or 2 days and like, oh, this isn't working. Like, even with a podcast, you know, something that needs a lot of consistency to gain traction. So make sure you're doing it for a long enough period of time to be able to actually review it and say like, oh, okay, I know like exactly what needs to be changed. And I'm not just guessing what needs to be changed, because otherwise you're never going to see traction. If you're just constantly changing things without giving enough time to actually see if it works or not.
Okay, so let's dive in now to the more the finance side of things.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, what you say probably is like the biggest mistake that most people make when it comes to financings.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, they have the wrong information, because I say it's not information that will kill you, it's having the wrong information. So it's almost better to not have any information than the wrong information, because even in battle, like, you know, even former military, we always want to inform the enemy of wrong information, get them to operate on like wrong info, we call it intel in the military, and that way it gives you an advantage. So same thing when it comes to money, it's a game. Think of like, you know, football, basketball, any other sport, and there's these rules you have to abide by to win the game. So if you want to win the game of money, there's some rules that we have to abide by that people just aren't aware of. So they continue just hope one day that they're going to, you know, have enough to, you know, be where they want to be. They think that they have the right tools, but comes down the road and they get to that point where they're reviewing everything and they're realizing, hey, everything I've been told isn't really working out for me too well. So we help people with everything, whether it comes like building a budget, getting a free trust and will, is something all that.
Can you share a financial principle or strategy that changed the lives of your clients?
Yeah, the biggest thing is like understanding there's three main rules of money. The first money is kind of the accumulation side of money, and as you're growing that money, what's the rate it's actually growing at? Because like if you put your money under the mattress, how much money are you going to have tomorrow?
The same amount of money.
Same amount of money, right? So we want to make sure we're putting it into a vehicle that's actually going to grow for us. And then also too, in the meantime, we want to make sure that we have no risk of loss. Like if we have a lot of, you know, great return on our investment, but we have a chance of losing it all, then it doesn't really make sense. Because if we could have the chance of losing it, say we put our money in the stock market, we try to make, you know, educated investments that way, but if the market goes down, we have no control over that. So I like to say control the controllables. And that's what the wealthy do. They have three rules: never lose money, never lose money, never lose money. So they're investing into things that are going to grow, but they don't lose any money if the market drops. They have that floor to their programs. So that's what we take a look at for people. And then the last thing is taxes. Taxes eat up a lot of your money. So maybe when you're first starting off in in business with a job or even in entrepreneurism, you don't really realize when you're first starting off like the tax side of things. But as you start to make more income, you're like, holy cow, I don't want the government to continue to take all this money from me. If there's legal ways I can, you know, get out of having to pay these taxes. So we show people some really neat strategies where maybe instead of paying taxes twice now, because when you get your paycheck, you get taxed on it, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, when you take that paycheck and you invest it into like a mutual fund cryptocurrency, you get taxed again on the growth of that money. Where the wealthy, what they do is instead of like maybe there's some deferred accounts where you can get, you know, pay taxes on down the road, not today, you're just going to firm off for later on down the road. But again, we're probably going to be in a higher tax bracket down the road based on how things are going. And then the last would be to just pay taxes today, let it grow tax-free, and that way you don't have to worry about paying all these crazy taxes in retirement. So we show some really neat strategies to make that happen. But yeah, we do everything when it comes to like just somebody starting out, setting a budget compared to like down the road doing retirement funding. We have some really cool business partnerships that we work with, helping business owners set up proper retirement accounts for their employees. But yeah, it's a whole other conversation to kind of get into the weeds of that stuff.
It's okay. I know when it comes to finances and stuff, I know it can actually be a bit, you know, a little bit more complex than what it is.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest. So for me, I've heard about Liberty Mutual before. I've heard about, I think it was what? It was American something.
National, maybe?
Probably. It might be something like that.
Okay.
But like, so I've heard about it. I heard about, you know, the importance of having like a life insurance policies. I've heard that, yeah, you should also put your money in mutual and funds, certain funds and stuff, right? But I think the biggest thing is that even though we hear these things, there isn't really nobody to really educate us on like what is important to do compared to what you don't have to do, at least at that point in time.
Yeah.
So let's say like I'm an average guy. Let's say I'm working regular hours as a regular employee. I only make $25,000 a year. And I wanted to work on my finances and try to build wealth. How would I go about that?
Yeah, there's two things I would say. You said making $25,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two things that I would tell you to do. The first is we all think we know what we're actually spending, but until we actually put it down on paper, we're not going to really know. So I encourage you to actually either get on a call with me and I can help you build out a free budget, or if you want to go on Google, create your own form and actually put down what you're spending. Like go through all of your expenses, go through how much you're spending on your hobbies, like fun, and actually track it so you know. Because a lot of people, they tell me, like, I'll ask them, and then like, oh, I'm at this. And then we'll actually put it on paper, and it's very different. It's a huge disparity. And then also, too, you got to get your income up. So you can make $25,000 a year, but you're never going to have enough to put into an investment to see that money grow if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Because at $25,000 a year, that's honestly not a lot of income. You're probably, you know, having like roommates, things like that, just to compensate for the cost of living today. So do we do some opportunities? Like I said, we are expanding. We are looking for some interviews where we can help people make 6-7 figures. But again, we're only looking for, you know, those three categories of kind of people, you know, the committed, the credible, and the coachable in this kind of a space. Because we're dealing with a lot of money, right? We help families that have, you know, several million dollars that are just trying to figure out how to better put it or place it into a program that's better protected with still that growth potential.
So it's safe to say then it's for everybody, but not for everybody, because certain people have to qualify over different aspects.
Yeah. I mean, we can help everybody because, like, for example, if somebody's dead broke, I can hate to use that word, but I can get them a budget so they can start to actually plan their future, or I can get to them a job opportunity if they're a good fit for our company. And from there, they can start to scale their income. Once they build up that income, their savings, then we can look into some investment vehicles. But the quickest way to scale your net worth is, I'm kind of like, well, like going to ask you and see if maybe you know, like, do you know the quickest way to scale your net worth?
Oh, the biggest way to scale your net worth, I would say, is definitely making connections,
yeah.
first and foremost, because you don't know who you might, you don't know what the other individual that you come in contact with, what they might know,
mm-hmm.
or what they might be able to offer. Maybe you might have something to offer with them, and y'all might be able to exchange value that way.
Yeah.
Like, being able to have the ability to know somebody, where you go to networking events like this, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, it opens up your mind to not just other possibilities of what you can do in life or how you can make other sources of money, but also to just the point of that you might be able to create an impact on somebody else's
yes.
life. So be able to increase your net worth is first by getting to know other people.
Yeah.
And once you get to know the other people and you have something valuable that you can offer them and they have something valuable that you can offer, that they can offer you, then y'all should definitely connect, because you never know what that may lead to. Like,
yeah.
literally, the dude that I met the other day, what was his name? Zemo? He did the billboards.
Okay.
So I already knew about cryptocurrency and all that stuff
sure.
already.
Yeah.
But he actually gave some game on how I can find other meme tokens, which, those certain types of meme tokens, if I follow a certain strategy, it actually can help 10x that. To where the right meme tokens I get into has a higher possibility of 10xing. So even if I put in, let's say, $50 on a meme coin, if it's 10x or 100x, now we're talking about $50 going up to, let's just say 10 million.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that. So if I get $10 million, I mean, from my perspective, it was me. Yeah, I'm not going to blow it on everything. I'm going to get somebody like you. I'm going to make sure to get a budget and everything inclined and set up first. And then after that, I'll invest some money, I'll have some stored to the side, and then I'll probably put some to like a policy or a trust just so I can have some money in the back, have that money working for me.
Yes.
So that's like how the way I would go about that.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, connections are huge. That's how I got started out in the space, is going to networking events, connecting with people like yourself that really have helped me just change my mindset. And it's value for value, like you're talking about. Everybody's got like a piece of the puzzle that they bring to the table. And like, you guys are coming here and just hearing both myself and Devante bring pieces of the puzzle together and make something really cool happen with this podcast. But actually, the fastest way to scale your net worth is one of the 10 things that we do. We actually help people with life insurance as well. So overnight, I can make you worth $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, like overnight. So
it's about getting a policy.
Yep. So with these, one of the 10 things that we help families with is life insurance, because it's still very important to have.
Okay.
And you can get a policy, you know, instant approval within, you know, 20, 30 minutes and have, you know, $500,000 of net worth, you know, and like if you, there's an unforeseen event that happened, now there's $500,000 that's going to your beneficiary.
So let me ask you this then. So let's say I get a policy, right? And let's just say I have a business and everything, and let's just say I want to try to use some of that money after, like, let's say after 2-3 or so, let's say 3 months in.
Yeah.
Like, what ways or how can I go about pulling out a certain portion of equity out of it to where I can use that to help me out and get further in my business?
Yeah. What he's referring to is infinite banking. It's frequently found inside of an index universal life program.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the strategies that we use and help families grow their money. There's several reasons why, and we can talk about it on another call, but what it looks like is you fund the account and you can withdraw up to 90% of the death benefit after year one. So you do have to wait a year. There's a amortization period where
okay.
you have to wait that year. And then after that, all you need is a 3 to 5 business day notice and be like, hey, I want to take out some money, purchase a vehicle, invest it into another Airbnb. It's your money to use for anything. And a lot of people either do it that way, make investments while they're, you know, alive, or they wait until retirement and they take loans out. Because there's a difference between like a loan and a withdrawal. You guys all have like bank accounts probably.
Correct.
So you go to the bank account, put your debit card in, and you take out a withdrawal. So it reduces the amount of money in your account. Tracking?
Yep.
So a loan, on the other hand, is where we're taking a loan out against ourselves. We already funded the policy, one of these index universal life programs. And the money that we take out doesn't affect the principal that's growing. So our account's still growing in value, even though we're using the money in it somewhere else.
Okay.
So people can pay it back over time, or they don't have to. And well, what's the collateral? Well, it's the death benefit and the cash value of the program. So there's a lot of cool features about it, but you would have to wait a year. Yeah.
Okay. So regardless of the matter, that you have to wait a year no matter what, at the very least.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So, and that's just not because you don't want to, just because that's just the policy that's in place order for you to get access to it.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. So let's say like someone asks NRL, how much would that be then? Like, how much do I have to pay a month in order for me to do that after a year?
Sure. You could put in as little as $50 a month into this Index Universal Life program. I've got clients that are putting in several thousand, $10,000-$20,000 a month into these programs. So you can have as many of them as you want. So okay. If you started a max fund one out, you can create a second one, a third one, a fourth one. One of the clients has like 26 of these because he just continues, the multimillionaire just continues to fund these so that he can use this money for real estate and other things as well. So his money's growing twice as fast as it normally would have by just taking that money out of his bank account and investing it directly into that asset, whether it's real estate or some other vehicle.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that because that's always been like the biggest thing for me is like me trying to like, it's not like I'm not against getting a policy. That's definitely not the case. It's just a point of how would I, one, how go about it, make sure I want to get the right policy.
Sure.
Because I know as well, there are some companies out there who has policies in place to where that if you don't meet a certain requirements within a within the contract, even though you know not everybody reads the contract, so if you don't meet certain requirements, that can cause you to possibly not be able to get money out of your policy. Or there's a rate or there's something like that where you got to pay more, but that money, but a certain portion of that money is actually pocketed. Like, do you know anything about like those ends and like those small loopholes or those type of companies that offer that?
Yep. So the problem is some IOs go to IULs, Index Universal Life Programs, they get a bad rep because you're with a bad agent. So if the agent doesn't structure things properly for you, that's what's going to happen. What happens is, as you know, for people who have their life insurance license, if they issue a policy, they get paid off of the amount of death benefit in that program, not the amount that you're funding it with. Because if you're doing it the correct way, you want to do the minimum amount of death benefit and have the maximum amount of cash value out of your monthly premium, you know, in your account is going towards cash value. So the reason why we have some death benefit with it is so we can take advantage of that tax-free growth, take advantage of those tax codes, still provide some death benefit. We want to keep that as small as possible while having most of your monthly premium go towards the cash flow. So if it's structured wrong, then yeah, you're probably not going to have anything to take out of the account because all the premium is being eaten up by the death benefit of the program.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So pretty much then, I mean, as long as you get one, make sure you have a good agent.
Yes.
And which as well, I mean, I guess a good thing would say would be, like if you get the contract before you sign anything, you have a, I guess a lawyer look it over or something like that beforehand to kind of like analyze it and make sure everything's good.
Make sure you're with a reputable company too. Like all the companies I work with, they've been around for over 100 years. So obviously a company doesn't stick around that long if they're doing the wrong things for clients.
Correct.
So also important thing too is to break down the program with people, like so they can fully understand it. Because if I was just brand new to the space, it was just like a bunch of Chinese on a page to me because of all these different numbers and things like that. But to actually take the time to sit down with somebody so they can understand it and they can explain it back to you, that gives them confidence knowing that they are making the right move compared to just hoping that, you know, you're doing the right thing for them.
Okay. So tell me, how do you handle criticism? Like when it comes to people, when you talk about this type of things, right?
Yeah.
How do you handle the criticism or skepticism when people or certain individuals try to talk about or try to challenge what you know?
Yeah. I actually enjoy it because that's what makes you better. If you never got rejected, criticized, or anything like that, then you wouldn't know how to handle it the next time around, right? So in any kind of, you know, sales associated space, well, if you never received an objection, you're going to be able to handle it the second time it comes around because you never handled it the first time.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like always a way to continue to get better. If there's ever something I don't know, I admit it. I found that being honest with people is saying like, hey, that's a great question. I don't know it. I'm like 99% sure on the answer, but I don't want to tell you something unless I completely know. So let me go get the answer to you and I'll come back to you. So that's something that I found is really great. It shows that you're being humble, right? And also being trustworthy. You're not just like spitting something out there because you want to have an answer.
Okay. So how do you balance? So pretty much outside from work, right?
Yeah.
How do you handle, like, how do you even balance like the whole financial stuff? And then on top of that, you also as well be able to do anything at home, whether that's you spending time with family, a girlfriend, or et cetera. Like, I know it has to get exhausting or something like that from time to time. So like, how do you even keep that balance?
Yeah, you got to be very intentional with your time. So you'll find out what your structure is for your day, what that looks like, because you don't want to burn yourself out. We want to make sure you're still leaving everything out there at the end of the day and can say, hey, I gave it all today. So for me, what looks like it's an early morning. I take care of myself first because I realized that you can't take care of other people until you take care of yourself. So what does it look like? That's going to the gym, that's doing some meditation, I do a daily devotional, things like that. Just get myself right.
Okay.
In the beginning of the day. And then once the day starts, you know, I usually, you know, I got like, you know, meetings that I run in the morning for the team, some sales meetings. So from there until probably 9 o'clock, I mean, it's like a whole structure I could get into, but I have like designated like sections of my day that are spent for certain tasks. So I don't do my workout in these hours because those hours are meant for, you know, that's for growing the business. Or I don't, you know, spend those hours to growing the business in the family time. You got to have a set routine and just let people know like, hey, I'm not taking calls during this time, right? You missed your window to take care of this. Because if not, then you're going to be a slave to your phone. Like anytime a notification goes off, like you're distracted now doing this. And I found that you really don't get anything done if you're constantly just like shifting, just like focus on a time block of like, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing, whether it's running appointments, whatnot. And then, okay, now this time block, I'm going to be handling maybe working on the business instead of in it. So I would say that that would be my answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. So really, I mean, dang, you kind of really honestly laid it all out there. What if somebody was like, hey, you know what? I love this dude, Caleb. I'm loving everything he's saying. Like, how can I get connected with him? Does he offer like any type of mentorship to kind of teach other people how to do the same thing? Mm-hmm. Like, do you offer any of those type of services?
Yeah. So one thing that happened to me when I first started off is I had to pay to get in the right rooms. I had to pay so much money. I've invested over 150 grand in different mentors, coaches, programs, just trying to find the right information because my family didn't come from that business side. It was a lot of like W-2 side. So I had a lot of break, a lot of kind of just thinking like an employee. And I had to start thinking about like being like a CEO. So I've spent a lot of capital, like I just mentioned, and I don't want to see anybody else have to do that. So how I've structured things is I know that, you know, karma comes around and helps you out down the road. So right. I'm just here to provide value. So you can follow me on Instagram, Caleb Bullard 360, Bullard's B-U-L-L-A-R-D. And I got some free resources. There's a link right in my bio. It gets you a free book, get you a call with me. We can sit down for a free consultation and get you a free budget if you're just getting started off, or maybe review your situation and see if there's things we can optimize. Everybody's like worked really hard for their nest egg. Well, I want to make sure that's protected and it's growing as fast as it can.
All right. Nice. Well, before we end it here, I want to ask one more thing.
Yeah.
What's one piece of advice you will leave that if you could talk to your younger self, what's one piece of advice you were going to give them? And then also what's one piece of advice you want to leave with the audience?
Yeah. That's a great question. I would say the biggest piece of advice I can give to you, the biggest difference I see in those that become successful and not and don't, is mental toughness and their obsession. There's a book called by Grant Cardone called Be Obsessed or Be Average. And the people that really make it, they go through a whole lot. I mean, even yourself, I'm sure you've gone through a lot yourself, Devante, I have too. And your mental fortitude is what's going to get you through that. And it's something that I tell people is, are you going through adversity or are you growing through it? Because we all go through adversity. And it's up to us if we want to decide if we actually want to grow through that and become a better individual. Because you have all these like dreams and stuff. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you don't become the person, so it's like called being, doing, having, where you have to become the person. You have to embrace that identity of who they are, do the things that person does. And eventually over time, you'll have those things. But if we're still the same person today as we are in 10, 15 years from now, I can guarantee you're not going to have those things. First, you have to change yourself. That's the only thing that we can change. We have control over our mind. Mm-hmm. We don't have control over the situations that happen around us. We just have control over our mind and what we do. So I would say being obsessed about continuing to progress and grow, because you're either growing or dying at the end of the day. Mm. Stagnant water is dead.
That's true.
Get in the flow, keep growing, and one thing leads to another. Before you know it, you're going to be on a podcast with Devante yourself, maybe. And
you never know.
I have no idea that this was going to happen, you know, 4 years ago when I got into this space. So it's just exciting to see one door lead to another.
All right. Caleb, man, appreciate it, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for dropping some gems for us today. You are amazing. And for those out there, once again, if y'all want to follow Caleb, his social stuff will be connected down below. And also as well, make sure you tap in with him because he is definitely great on financial advice. And also as well, make sure to, if y'all want to tap in with me, y'all can just DM me if you want to get on podcasts, if you want to share about your story, if you're an entrepreneur, if you just want to just have a whole conversation, whether that's about spirituality, life, honestly, anything, to be honest, like I'm down for it. Okay. Just make sure to DM me. And also too, if y'all want to get some merch, I got some merch that's going to be connected to my Linktree and my Instagram. So make sure to go and follow and subscribe. And without further ado, y'all stay blessed, stay safe, and see y'all on the next one. Peace.